This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 116. What did you watch this week? This is Mike.
Why do you sound so down, Mike?
Nah.
Oh, you just kind of, you don't have the usual pep and energy that you bring to the intro to the show.
It's going to be flat today. Flat and emotionless.
Like my ex.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Fucking Amazon once again sent me a reminder for her birthday to get her a gift. I don't, every year I delete that from my Amazon thing. Every year it pops up again.
That is so weird. I never get a reminder about her.
It's so funny. Why don't you buy Madeline a gift? Okay? She hasn't been my friend in like 11 years, 13 years or something like that, right?
We've been broken up for 9.
I know. I was just, yeah. I knew it was longer than Melissa and I. I'm just saying, like, still.
Yeah, it's so weird.
I don't know why it still comes up. Like, I literally go on my Amazon account, remove, delete, whatever. I don't get one for you and Jew, but you're on the list. But I get the email from Madeline.
That is so odd.
Yeah, it is odd.
I don't get that.
I don't get it either.
Friggin' Amazon.
Amazon! Oh, hey, by the way, today I found out that I now subscribed to Amazon Prime because my 3-year-old decided he was going to do that for me while he was watching, playing a game on my old phone. That was fun. That was fun. That was a fun email.
Yeah.
What do you mean I'm subscribed to Amazon Prime? This better be the monthly, not the yearly.
I remember when I was dating my other ex.
Yeah.
Her daughter did the same thing. Her daughter was like 6 at the time, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, had her Kindle in there and was like, I want to read this Barbie book and this Barbie book and this Barbie book. And I want to buy the whole first season of the 1965 Batman series.
Oh, that's a good choice.
For some reason. Taste. So, yeah, like $58 bill shows up. Suddenly she gets an alert on her phone. She's like, okay, I have to kill my child.
Yeah, one click is not turned on for me. So you have to go through the steps just for that reason.
Yeah.
I have one click shut off on everything.
How did he get into it then?
Huh?
How did he get to
I don't
prime?
Know. I don't know.
Okay.
But I just, like, I remember picked up my old phone. I woke it up. I swiped across. Welcome to Amazon Prime. I'm like, oh, man. So I don't know how that came on. But, like, maybe I didn't have it on that device because I never let my kids use it until I let him use it this week.
Right.
But, like, all the tablets, everything like that. Anything that I knew the kids could get into, I would make sure the one click was disabled.
Right.
But maybe I didn't on that phone, like I said, because I never let him use that. It's my podcast player. It's what I play Yahtzee on, whatever. But
right. Well, now you can check out some Amazon Prime stuff.
I went through and I loaded a bunch of stuff in the watch list. I figured I got it for a month.
Did you grab The Tick?
I didn't. I grabbed Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
I assumed that one, yeah.
The Nintendo video game one.
Yep.
There's the one about Atari.
Yep.
Pez Heads. And then they got Doctor Who.
So I threw
all Doctor Who in there. And then a bunch of Tiffany Shepis horror movies I hadn't seen but wanted to watch.
See, now you're going to get addicted because you won't be able to get it all watched in a month. You're going to go, well.
Well, luckily for me, I just won't watch Hulu because there's nothing on there now anyways. Mm. So.
Although there is. Because I'll tell you right now, I've been rewatching Happy Endings that I suggested to you.
Oh, I haven't started watching that.
Holy God. Like, the first season, I'm watching it, and I'm like, yeah, I remember this is good. Oh, yeah. And I got some laughs out of it. Now I'm in the second season, and I'm halfway through, and just laughs all the time. It's so good. By the way, the two of the executive producers of Happy Endings, mm-hmm. Joe and Anthony Russo.
Oh.
Of Civil War.
They've done some stuff that's pretty
good. Yeah, yeah. Avengers Infinity War. But here's what I got to warn you about with this, and anybody who's listening. This is an awesome half-hour comedy. It's like Friends, but better. in my opinion.
Sure.
Lot of good actors, a lot of people that you'll be like, oh, I know that person, I know that person. Damon Wayans Jr. and his father shows up one episode, and it's Damon Wayans Sr. Love that.
Right.
But they shot, or they did like with Firefly, where they aired them out of order. So when they put it up on Hulu, it's an ABC production. So when they put it up on Hulu, they put them up out of order as well. You know, they put them up based on how they aired on TV.
You know, okay, yeah.
So
I think I remember watching an episode of this because Eliza Coop's in it.
Yes. So, like, I'm watching the first season, and it's like, it starts off, and then the second episode, everybody's fine. And you're like, okay. You know, it's just like, oh, some time passed. And then by the time you hit episode, like, 6 or 7, now you're seeing what should have been episode number 2. And you're seeing the fallout from episode 1. You're like, wait, we're 7 episodes in.
Huh.
So as long as you can deal with that, like in season 2, I'm watching it, and Max, the gay guy, he gets a boyfriend, and everybody loves him. And then you watch them break up. And then we have another regular episode. And then we have a new episode, and oh, they're right in the middle of their relationship. And you're like, wait a minute.
Okay, that's annoying.
Yeah, it is annoying.
I think when they put them up there, they would put them in order.
Yeah, so I think I want to Google, like, see if somebody's put together a list. Like, if you want to watch it in order, watch, you know. But there are 3 seasons. I know the first season is, like, 12 or 13 episodes. The second season is 21 episodes. And I don't remember the 3rd season. But, yeah, if you want a good half-hour comedy show, highly recommend it. God, I've laughed at this show again and again.
Cool. I just went on Hulu here on the laptop and added it to the list.
Cool.
To my stuff. So
good.
So that way I'll remember to watch it.
You trust me, you're gonna like it. You're gonna like
the writing. Well, I do like a half hour show.
Yep.
And
you like all of these actors.
Okay. So
that being said, sorry, I just had to stick up.
Oh no.
Some stuff on it.
Fair enough.
It has been a bit of a drought lately.
Let's just talk. We're going to talk the final 2 episodes of Supergirl.
Yeah. We're going to
get
squish
it done.
Them together.
Just get it done out of the way. They win. They save the day. The end. All right.
Moving on.
Something else.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed Supergirl the first season. The second season was great.
Yep.
Third season's been a little rough for me.
And it's gotten rougher as the season's gone on.
Yeah, it really has. I don't know if it's the villain or whatever, but I'm just going to cut to the chase. Wynn,
yeah.
The actor playing Wynn decided to leave the show.
Yeah.
So to do that, they changed the future,
yep.
Right? Brainiac can't go back to the future, though, because there's another Brainiac in the future who is killing all AI.
That's perfectly fine because there have been a lot of iterations of Brainiac.
So they need Wynn. Wynn's going to go take Brainiac's place in the future because he's smart.
Yep.
Mon-El needs to go back to the future so he can, with Saturn Girl or whatever, so he can protect the time.
Yeah. So he's realized that's his place.
Yeah. So they leave.
Yep.
They give Supergirl the Legion ring.
Yep. So that she can contact them and.
Yep.
Had a lot of heartfelt goodbyes.
A lot of heartfelt goodbyes, yeah, because
John has decided that he's leaving the position of director of DEO, mm-hmm. and he's going to go on sabbatical for a while because, you know.
He's going to go protect Earth.
Yeah, yeah. His dad is gone and somehow, like, melted into the Earth.
Earth became one with the Earth, yeah.
But, yeah, John handed over the reins of control of the DEO to Alex.
After she just cut a speech to him about wanting to leave to become a family and have her own life and be her own person.
Yeah, because, you know, she risks her life far too often, and she wants to have a kid. And he's like, oh, well, if you're the director, you don't have to go into the field.
Yeah.
Also, kind of sure that even if it is a top secret classified organization like that, there's probably some kind of oversight committee that would take issue with the fact that one director just named their successor.
Yeah, you would think.
You'd think there'd be a whole vetting process and everything.
Again, you would think.
But
nope, not to be the case.
Nope.
Kara decides to stay on Earth. That's no surprise.
Yeah.
Her mom's going to head back.
Right.
Okay, so I hated the fact where Kara decides she's going to kill Rain,
yeah.
go against her beliefs, and Rain then, you know, laser zaps everybody and kills a bunch of people. So she immediately goes back in time and stuff from happening.
Yep.
Very easily this time.
Yes. Yeah, because you know, Sam came up and stabbed Rain with the magic sword that, you know, we didn't know existed until they went to New Krypton or whatever you want to call
it. Right.
And they were like, look, but it's only the scabbard. Well, why would somebody take the sword and not the scabbard?
And why would the scabbard have a fucking handle on it like it's a sword?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they could look at it and go, oh, this must be the scabbard of the Sword of Legend. Shut up. And so, yeah, Sam stabs Rain, who still looks exactly like Sam, you know, instead of being like some amorphous black, you know, evil entity thing. It looks just like Sam.
And then they end up in Sam and Rain's dream, whatever, mind,
right.
Rift, warp, plane, wherever they, when they get one becomes the other one goes.
And she makes a real place because there's water there.
She makes Rain drink water from the bad side of the lake.
To suck her power.
And it sucks her power out, and then she gets trapped there. And now Sam, thanks for blood test by Linus, has no Kryptonian blood or anything.
So she feels really good.
And she feels great.
Yep. Oh, and when she drank the water that sucks the power, then the ghosts from Ghost came out and dragged her off to hell.
Yeah, I looked at it more as the from the Frighteners, the Reaper guy.
Yep, Jake Busey.
Yeah, Jake Busey. Spoiler. Yep, or from Dead Like Me, the Little Critters.
Yes,
I can't think what they're called.
I want to say Gremlings, but it wasn't that.
So
yeah.
That's
a great show. First two seasons.
And then, you know, Lena gives the magic rock back to Supergirl's mom, except the small piece she kept to run tests and keep doing
experiments. And apparently experiments. Clone Kara, because...
No, she... I don't know, but she appeared in Siberia at the same time Rain's defeated.
Yeah, because it said, you know, it was like, oh, 48 hours earlier or something, and you see that Lena's, like, working on making her own version of the stone, and then you see... Kara, but like looking like Supergirl because she's got the wavy hair and no glasses and a blanket around her, shows up in Siberia.
What's that all about?
Yeah.
That's about stuffing things.
Maybe next time her real enemy will be herself. I think Lena's going to go to the dark side, which is something I never wanted to see happen. We've talked about it
here. I like that she wasn't.
Yep, but she's really Ms. Tessmacher. She's really going to the dark side here, and I'm not okay with that. I don't like it.
Neither am I.
Yeah, ultimately, it was not... You know, the show has had some lazy writing in the past season.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, they've got the Legion beacon so that they can contact them. And, oh, wait, there's an explosion. And the explosion happened across the room. But, oh, the Legion beacon broke. You'd think it would be a little sturdier than that. Something that's going to reach through time and space.
It's not.
No. So I didn't like that part either. There was a lot that I didn't like. I'm glad that it's done. I'd be much more interested, honestly, in watching the future tales. Because, you know, they're like, hey, we killed Pestilence. But now the evil Brainiac, you know, we've got to go back to the future with Wynn. I'm more interested in that group. Show me Wynn and Saturn Girl and the rest of the Legion in the future. Man, give me that show.
Maybe they'll make this better next year.
Maybe.
They gotta bring Superman back. That's how.
Yeah, he was saving Morocco. Well, or Madagascar, I think it was. Yeah, Madagascar. They're like, Superman saves Madagascar. And Jimmy's like, go Clark.
Really? Oh, and Jimmy tells the world that he's Guardian.
Yeah. And the world yawned. Basically. They're like, yeah, who's Supergirl?
Yeah.
Just like some dude in a suit of armor.
So, moving on. Yes. Reverie. Did you watch the third episode?
I did.
So basically, Guy's home invaded.
Yep.
Guy feels less a man.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore he's useless, worthless, doesn't deserve to be with his wife or her pregnant child, and would rather go live in an imaginary world where he robs bank and is a tough guy.
Right.
That's literally why he stayed in that world.
Yep.
And
he wanted to be a tough guy.
She finds out, you know, all this stuff. Like, oh, it wasn't just the home invasion. It was the fact that he came back and threatened you. Yes, and I'm a pansy. Well, stand up to him. He won't be a pansy. That's what I'm going to do. Exodus.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, the show, I love the concept. The first episode was great. I told you what my feelings were.
Yep.
And then, like, they showed us the preview of, like, you know, last two, in the episode two, they showed us the episode three preview. We're like, don't take me out of this. Right. And it was simply like, he was just like, hey, calling her out. Like, who are you seeing? And right. She goes,
you're having a mental breakdown.
Yeah. He's like, I'm seeing, you know, my niece. And the response is, okay, well, you need to take your medicine and do what they say, or else I'm going to pull you out. Please don't pull me out. This actually, I feel like I'm working. Okay. Well, as long as you take your medicine, I won't. Yeah.
So and she doesn't.
Yeah, it wasn't that big of a, I don't know.
Because then it ends on her touching the little girl and being like, oh, I can feel her.
Yeah. Oh, hold on. The ending of the episode is kind of neat, though, because
it's...
Well, she finds that she's in a simulated world.
Right.
So is the world she is, is she in her own simulated world working with others who are in their simulated world? So it's all big friggin', you know... simulation a la Christopher Nolan Inception?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Or is this part of the hallucination? You know, she's seeing the little girl, and then it looks like the world is breaking down around her.
So
at least we've got that going for it. I still enjoy it, and especially where there is literally nothing on right now.
Yeah. I mean, I am going to watch the next episode, because I do want to see if she is, and, you know, I am curious about that. Right. But again, the concept is...
Yep.
It's thin.
Oh, I hear you.
But I do kind of enjoy it. I haven't watched any more Spotless. I haven't watched any more Killing
Spotless?
Eve.
Spotless?
It's the show I talked about, the British show. With the
Because
of the crime scene cleanups.
Gotcha.
I'll probably watch some.
For some reason, you said that, and I thought you were meaning Blind Spot. And Watching that?
I'm not. I do want to watch more Killing Eve. I just haven't because of... It's only on the BBC America app on my tablet, and the volume is exceptionally low.
Right. You were telling us about that.
I just haven't had fine time. Because I've been watching also... I know, it's a shock. I watched a lot of wrestling. Well, New Japan had a bunch of cards
on. I am shocked.
NXT had a takeover show. WWE had Money in the Bank. I mean, I had wrestling to watch.
This is my shocked face.
For those of you who can't see it, it's
like
basically
literally everyone.
A normal face. Those of you not me.
For those of you paying the 99 cents to see our video stream.
We don't have a video stream, so no one's doing that. In case you're going, wait a second.
Wait a minute.
I want to see these dopes.
Everyone's like, yeah, I'm going to fast forward to see what they talk about next. I watched the finale of Krypton.
Oh.
I didn't realize that was still on my DVR.
I didn't realize that was still on.
Yep. It was good. Oh, yeah, they've already renewed it for a second season. It was good. They've set up their own... kind of timeline. They stopped Brainiac by putting him in the Phantom Zone. Clark's cape came back, you know, a la
the
picture from Back to the Future. And Seg got sucked into the Phantom Zone as well. Yeah. That's how the season ended. Zod is now going to be taking over. They're taking all of the castless people, who are the ones that just kind of like roam around the streets. And they're basically the worker bees, and they're conscripting them into the military. So Zod is going to have his military planet that he wanted all along.
There you go, Zod.
Yep. It was enjoyable, though. I enjoyed the show.
I'm watching Westworld.
Yeah.
That's about the only other show I'm watching. I got a couple movies.
I checked out a couple of shows that I'll just touch on briefly.
Okay.
I didn't realize I saw an article the other day that was talking about that shocking twist in the most recent episode of the sixth season of Voltron. And I'm like, how have they had six seasons so far?
It's kind of crazy.
I remember watching the first season, really liking it. So I went back and I've watched like half of the second season. I still enjoy it. It's really well done. I enjoy it. It's like an anime version of Voltron. And the graphics are good, the acting is good, the stories are cool. It's not like the Voltron when we were kids where every week there's a new Robeast and they fight it and they fail. And then they rally and come together and fight it and win. You know, sometimes I think in the second season I've seen one Robeast so far and I'm like four episodes in. And then the other one I started watching because I had heard about something recently. It's a Netflix show called BoJack Horseman.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about that, but I've never watched it.
It's interesting. There's some funny parts. It hasn't, like, I'm halfway through the second season. I'm not a diehard fan, like a lot of people are. Mm-hmm. Some of it's enjoyable. I like the actors. The girl in there is Alison Brie. We've got Amy Sedaris, Will.
It's all their voices.
Yeah. But it's an interesting world because, like, anamorphic animals live with people. So, like, he's got, like, a human body, but he's a horse.
Right.
And there are birds and dolphins and foxes. Like, one of his agent is a cat. So, it's an okay show. One show, though, that I know I've talked about, and I'm going to give it another hard sell because, like, all my notes for just this one week's episode, because I was enthralled with it.
What?
Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah, I've heard some kind of decent things. It's on Hulu.
Yeah. This third episode did a really... remember how I told you in the first episode, it was kind of artistic where every time the cop was on the screen, there was no dialogue?
Yes.
And it was really cool. This one, I took all these notes, but I don't want to say what happened because I really want you to watch it. But it was, first off, the basic concept of the episode was the same thing from two different points of view. You know, what happened to him, what happened to her. And then they had these dreamlike sequences where each one of them saw the other one in different ways. And it's hard to describe, but they were basically seeing another version of each other. Like, she was seeing a different version of him going after the cop that he's going after. He was seeing a different version of her running away from her problems. And constantly trying to help each other, constantly trying to convince that other version of them that they're doing the wrong thing. I'm being very vague, but it's because it was so awesomely done that it just enthralled me. Like, it kept me glued right to the TV, and I wanted to see more of it. So I got to say, three episodes in, and this is my pick right now for the show of the summer.
Really? You're enjoying it that much?
I really am. It's not the greatest thing that I've ever seen, but my God, it is really keeping my attention, and it's really enjoyable to watch. I can't say enough good enough about it right now. It's just, It's surprising that
I didn't expect... Hulu. So I added it to my queue. There's four episodes on Hulu, so I put it in my queue.
Yeah, I've only watched the first three. I've got the fourth one on my DVR, but seriously, check it out. And especially that third episode. Wow, that third episode really...
Okay, I'll give it a fair shake.
Okay.
I started watching season two of Luke Cage.
Oh, did you?
I did.
I was wondering if you were going to bite the bullet or just leave it.
It was 3 a.m., I was sitting there. I said, you know what? Let's just watch the first episode and see what happens.
Yep.
So far. Let me say this. Last season, I struggled through the first six episodes, literally from episode one through episode six. Mm-hmm. And then several months later, finally watched the other six episodes, only because The Defenders was coming out and I wanted to be caught up.
For me, it was the first two episodes and then the last, eight.
Yeah. 10, 11 10. Or whatever. Yep. Yeah. I've watched four episodes so far.
Okay.
It is exceptionally better than season one.
Oh, excellent.
It's not as dark.
Okay.
You know, maybe it helps that they've already established him and Misty as a character, and now we're seeing where they are now. Luke has a bit of notoriety and fame for being the hero of Harlem.
Yep.
And he's kind of dealing with that. Misty's dealing with the fact that she has one arm. She is getting, not rehab, but she's kind of training with Colleen Wing.
Okay.
Kind of cool. For those who don't know, she's from Iron Fist and the Defenders. So she's kind of training with Misty to help her and helping her like, kind of rehab or whatever.
Yeah, she owned the dojo that Danny went to in Iron Fist. Cool character. I like her.
She's a great character. She's good in this so far.
Nice.
And this season, Claire and Luke are very solidly dating in love with each other.
Oh, nice. Oh, that spells disaster down the road.
Episode four, we've already got some struggles here.
Gotcha.
So, like I said, I'm four episodes in, and I like it a lot better than the first season.
Okay.
And I'm not struggling to have to watch it.
Oh, that's good.
Which is kind of nice.
Actually, that's a marked improvement.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's still very 1970s blaxploitation type stuff, but that's just what it's going to be.
Hmm.
Bushmaster is the main villain.
Yes.
Jamaican. Once you get past the accent, because it is a thick one, I really liked how, okay, you know, Bushmaster, if you don't know who he is as a character, I'll just put it this way, he's super strong and fast and quick, and he kind of uses some, not steroids, but he has some performance enhancement, some natural remedy things that help him become that way. And he's basically like, nothing can hurt Luke Cage, but Bushmaster can.
Mm.
And when they introduce...
See the Black Panther.
No.
Okay.
When they introduce each other, and when they introduce Bushmaster as the main villain, I think they did it in a good way. Oh, and what's the other... I want to say Mariah, but that's not her. The other villain's there as well. The old lady.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Except her and Shades are dating. Kind of creepy. Anyways, Bushmaster and Luke eventually have a fight, of course. It happens like in episode 3, or right at the end of 3, beginning of 4.
This must be the one where Luke gets his ass kicked, because then we have to have him go through a pouty phase so that by the end of the season...
Right, yeah, he's gotta show ass so that way he can make a comeback and then win.
Yep.
And that's what happens.
Yep. It's a Netflix Marvel show.
It's any type of redemption show. You know, the good guy's gotta become the underdog and get the fans behind him. So that, it's a wrestling match is what it comes down to. But yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Good.
I did not have much hopes for it, but I'm surprised.
But again, nothing's on, so you were like, well, I might as well try it.
Yeah.
So I'm pleasantly surprised.
I was, yeah.
That's good. I got to say once again that this season of Elementary is good. I've been really enjoying most of it. They've got this arc that Joan's on where suddenly she decided she wants to be a mom and she wants to adopt a kid, and I'm not enjoying that at all. It's actually rather detrimental to it. Mm-hmm. But his new nemesis is good. Everything that's been going on with Sherlock has been good. So I'm still enjoying it. It's still a solid show.
I plan on catching up someday.
Yep.
Because I still really enjoy it. I don't know how I managed to fall so far behind, but I just did. So
I think because it was on CBS.
Probably.
So it was harder to get a hold of that.
It was. But now CBS it's on. I think now it's on Hulu or something.
I think so, yeah.
Did you watch any movies?
Yes, I watched several movies.
Why do you laugh?
Because I went down a rabbit hole. I basically turned on Hulu and I was like, oh, and I'm like thumbing through trying to find something. And I saw, oh, what's this? Teen Titans The Judas Contract.
Oh, I saw that too. I didn't watch it, but I saw it on
there. And I was like, I'll throw that on. It's an animated Teen Titans movie.
Yeah.
And it was basically the same story that they've had in one of the Teen Titans episodes. Not Teen Titans Go, the shitty fucking show that I hate. But the Teen Titans cartoon that was actually really cool, which was the whole Tara's here. She's cool, but she's a little bit of a high-strung.
Right.
And, oh, she's actually a bad guy, and she's spying for Slade Wilson. And it was good. But then, like, at the end of it, they're like, oh, if you like that, you might like Justice League Dark. And I'm like, I would like Justice League Dark. So I watched Justice League Dark. And that had Matt Ryan as Constantine.
Yep.
Swamp Thing, Batman, Deadman, Zatanna. And it was really good. I really enjoyed that. And I wish that I could see more of that. I would like to see a regular series of those characters. Because they had the House of Mystery. They had demons.
House of Mystery, nice.
It was predictable. But it was really cool. I mean, this was not John Constantine, like, wandering in and out of the scene.
Right.
Like, he owns the House of Mystery.
Nice.
And he's bringing them all day. Oh, it just...
I'll have to go watch that then.
Real magic. And, yes, you got to check this one out. And then when that was over, it was like, well, if you like that, you might like Justice League Gods and Monsters. I'm like, I bet I would.
Dude, how long did you watch Hulu?
Too long. In my defense, it was mostly like I'd be sitting there with my laptop playing a game and have it on the TV. Justice League Gods and Monsters, not that great.
Okay.
This was the alternate, one of those alternate Earths where Superman was not born of Jor-El.
Okay.
Jor-El was supposed to, you know, imprint his DNA, and they were going to shoot off the embryo through space. But Zod came in and shot him dead. And then his mother was the same, but Zod imprinted his DNA. So when Clark came down, well, he was now Zod's child. Mm-hmm. And landed in a field in Texas. and was taken in by migrant workers who ran back over the border, I guess. Mm. So he grew up in, like, the Mexico area. Wonder Woman was a different Amazonian. Batman was actually a guy who had leukemia and did some experiments with nanotechnology and became a vampire.
It was okay.
Very predictable. It wasn't that enjoyable, but it was nice to see an alternate take on them. You know, they were the Justice League, but they basically ruled. You know, they were like, we're tougher than all of you, so we're going to make the rules. But then it was like, hey, if you like that, how about Justice League Crisis on Two Earths? And I went, yes, yes, I would like this. So this one opened with Lex Luthor and the Joker running from members of the Justice League. But this was a Joker who's like wearing a jester's outfit.
Yeah.
And him and Lex were friends, like close friends. And the Joker sacrificed himself so that Lex could get away, so that he could go to this Earth and get this Justice League to go and help him with his Justice League, which they're actually
bad guys.
Bad guys. Crime family syndicate type thing. You know, so you had Superwoman instead of Wonder Woman, and Superman was called Ultraman. Johnny Quick was their version of the Flash. It was cool because it was an alternate Earth story, and then they got into the whole multiverse.
So it's kind of like the Crisis on
Infinite Earths.
Yeah, but this was
Two Earths.
Okay.
And their Batman was Owlman, and he was sleeping with Superwoman. But yeah, I would check that one out. So Justice League Dark, definitely worth checking out. Judas Contract, maybe. But definitely Justice League Dark and Crisis on Two Earths.
Okay.
Solid, solid stuff. Yeah. But yeah, so I kind of went down a rabbit hole.
I think so.
They're like, well, you might like them. I'm like, yes, I would.
I'd say you did. I watched a couple movies on Hulu. I watched Dunkirk on Hulu, but it's on HBO, but I have HBO through my Hulu. So anyways, I watched Dunkirk, which is the Christopher Nolan written and directed bit based on the actual during World War II, a bunch of the Allied soldiers, over 300,000 of the British and even more of the French, got basically retreated and pushed back to the coastal town of Dunkirk, France, and they couldn't get any ships in to rescue them, so they mobilized the civilian fleet from the United Kingdom to get, because the boats could get into shallow water to rescue them. And it's a really good movie. It's a very, very good movie. It's a very good story. It's about an hour and 40 minutes long. It's told in three different perspectives. One is 1 week on the ground in Dunkirk. The other is 1 day in sailing.
Okay.
The guy that they're sailing from the United Kingdom over to Dunkirk. So, like, you see these three stories intercut with each other, and then at times you see where they line up with each other.
Oh, that's cool.
And but, like, when you're watching the people on the ground at Dunkirk, that's all taking place in the course of a week. When you're watching the people on the boat who are sailing from the United Kingdom over to Dunkirk, that's all taking place during the course of a day.
Okay.
And when you're watching the fighter planes in the sky, that's all taking place in the course of 1 hour. So along the way, these three storylines meet up, but they're told out of order. But it's really interesting.
Hmm.
I didn't get that from watching the movie. I did, but I didn't. It was made more clear when I read about it later that that's how it is. I really enjoyed it. There's very, very, very little dialogue. It's mostly all action, music, facial expressions, the way it's built. It's very, very good, though. I mean, I really, really enjoyed it. I give it a hard sell.
Nice.
I rented a movie from the library.
Okay.
I was there getting a book. I got The Sisters Brothers by Patrick DeWitt. It's a really good book. I got The Martian Chronicles.
Oh, okay.
Ray Bradbury wrote The Martian Chronicles back in the 50s. I actually read that book earlier this year. And this was like the TV miniseries event.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 3 hour-and-a-half long episodes. So there are 2 hours on the TV. But there's like three episodes, and it's broken down into three sections. And I watched disc one, which tells us the first few stories from the Martian Chronicles book. And I got to say, it's super great. It's got a great cast. Story's good. The practical effects are good. There's some really cheesy special effects at times. It came out in 80 or 81, so the music is very late 70s at times. Really bad, but I'm enjoying it. Like I said, I watched disc one. I still have the other two two parts to watch, but I'm kind of treating it like a miniseries event by spacing it out. That's on DVD, so I can only watch it from home.
Oh.
Yeah, so. I watched a movie called Capture, Kill, Release. It's on Hulu. It's a first-person shot movie like Blair Witch or something like that. I wouldn't call this found footage, but maybe it is.
Okay.
Basically, the long and the short of it is this. It's about this married couple who decide they want to murder someone. Mm-hmm. And so they go about...
It happens.
Yeah. So they go about filming everything they do, planning this murder. Like, you know, buying supplies, how they're going to do that, how they're going to kill him, what they're going to do.
Well, the police must love that.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
That's
And then they also...
Let's collect all the evidence here, honey.
Basically. Well, they didn't plan on getting caught. No one plans on getting caught. So it doesn't matter.
I would plan on getting caught. So that way I would work backwards.
But then you wouldn't do it. But then right. You wouldn't do it if you're like, well, I'm just going to get caught, so I'm not going to do it. No,
I would plan for the worst so that I could prepare for that. Like, if I got caught, what's going to catch me up? You know, what's going to trip me up? Well, first off, if I document everything on videotape, that's probably going to trip me up.
Well, then you don't have a movie for us to watch if you didn't, John. But anyways, so long and the short of it, you have the married couple, and I feel like I've been saying long and the short of it a lot today. But you have the married couple. One of them decides that they don't want to do this anymore. The other one basically forces the other one's hand to do this.
Okay.
I found it really interesting. I found it very good. I found it really kind of sick and disturbing at times. It's not gory for the sake of gore by any means. It's not like that at all. But, like, I don't know. I found it really enjoyable. It's got a really low budget. It's got, like, a completely unknown cast from what I can tell. It's just a small cast. But, yeah, I liked it a lot. I think it's definitely worth a watch, especially if you like the found footage or the first-person shot movies or anything like that. Yeah, they're real good. It's on Hulu. Then I watched, which I surprised myself even, but I watched Transformers The Last Night.
I am so disappointed in you.
Did you watch this yet?
No, and I never will, because it's garbage. Michael Bay is garbage.
This is the best Transformers movie they've done.
I want to slap you right now.
Well, it's the fact.
No.
Really? You enjoyed the other ones.
I enjoyed the first one.
I didn't.
I enjoyed the first
one. I enjoyed the first one when I watched it for the simple fact that it was the Transformers on the big screen and I was listening to Optimus Prime.
Yep.
I fucking hate Shia LaBeouf. Megan Fox is useless.
Yes.
Okay?
I will agree with you on both of those.
I didn't care for parts 2 and 3.
I hated 2 and 3.
Oh, yeah. The most recent one with Mark Wahlberg was okay.
Oh, I hated that. Oh, God, I hated that one. See, the product placement in that was insane. No. The holes in the plot.
I liked his character. How's that? I liked Mark Wahlberg's character.
Okay.
This movie I thought was very good. Mark Wahlberg's in it. The soldier guy, I can't think of his name now. He's from The Finder. Josh Duhamel. Duhamel, okay. He's in it. It's good. Anthony Hopkins is in it. Hot Rod's in it with a French accent, so that was kind of weird.
Really?
Yeah. But anyways, ultimately, I enjoyed it. Hmm. I think it's the best of all the Transformers movies they've done. I think this is the best one. Prime does a little speech in it like he always does, his little motivational pep talk. I got chills, not going to lie. They still treat Prime, like in this movie more than ever, they treat Optimus Prime like he is the be-all and all. Yeah, basically, yeah. Like everyone's like, you know, Prime is, you know, if we had Prime, we would take care of this. Prime is the greatest of all time. And he really is. I think you should watch it.
No.
I think you should.
Nope. Not going to happen.
You don't have to, but I'll never
watch those two new TMNT movies. It's not going to happen.
I will say this. Of all the Transformers movies they've released so far, this one I liked a lot. I thought it was done very well. I thought they told a good story. Yes, there's over-the-top action. Yes, there's unbelievable crap action in it. But I enjoyed this one the most.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed.
Well, and the main reason I put it on, I was at work. I had my tablet out. I was like, let me just throw this on. So it was kind of like a background movie. And I did find myself getting sucked into the story.
Hmm.
So... Anyways,
see the one before that with Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah,
that was the first time that the Everything Wrong With guys who do the YouTube videos had to make two separate videos to cover everything, and they were each 18 minutes long.
I still like the Honest Trailers when they did that movie. because it was like, this movie's crap. I mean, it's absolute crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we just watched the movie together.
We did.
We watched the new Tomb Raider.
Yes.
Sean, what'd you think?
Well, a couple of different thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay. First off, compared to the Angelina Jolie movies, much better.
Oh, it's tremendous compared to the Angelina Jolie movies.
It dragged.
Yep.
There was far too much time spent building up who she was.
Yeah. It was about 2 hours.
Being the rebellious girl, didn't want to take over her family's estate, gets to the boat, blah, blah. I mean, it dragged is basically what I'm getting
at. It did drag, yes.
Now, as somebody who's played through the games, you know, this is the whole, you know, oh, the book is better kind of thing. There were a lot of things, like, as I was looking at this movie visually, I was like, oh, I recognize that from the games. They made her look just like the character from the new games. Not the old games, the new games, which are way better than the originals. A lot of that, a lot of aesthetically pleasing things. But, like, here's the thing. The first game, when they came back, when they rebooted it, and they made her look young and everything like that, they had a similar story. You were going to that island. You were trying to find Hatiti or whatever the goddess's name was. Yeah, except for instead of a goddess of death, she was a goddess who could control the weather. That's why the storm was there. That's why later on you're fighting in a blizzard on a tropical island. Okay. And the organization wasn't Trinity, you know.
Yep.
It was Solari, and they were trying to bring her back so that she could rule over the world, and they needed a sacrifice. There were a lot more people. Like, she went there with a whole crew, and some of them were lost, and some, you know, but there was, like, an archaeologist, there was a security guy, there was somebody who was filming the documentary. So while it was similar, it definitely, the game was way better.
Okay.
But it was still a fun little... could have been a good National Treasure, Indiana Jones kind of thing if it didn't drag its feet so long, in my opinion.
I enjoyed the movie, I guess, for what it was.
Yep.
It didn't blow me away. The movie did drag quite a bit. I agree with you. You're right. As far as the Indiana Jones or National Treasure aspect of it, I thought that was good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, plot issues I might have had issues with, but...
we joked about them.
Yeah, as we watched the movie together, yeah, we did kind of joke through.
But, I mean, none of it was like... it didn't kill it for me.
No, no. If they ever did a sequel, I'm not sure I'd care about watching it.
Yeah, I could see that. Except that in the sequel, they wouldn't have to worry so much about building her backstory.
Right. True. But, I don't know. So, again, I wasn't blown away by any means, but it wasn't terrible.
Yeah. The game actually starts on that boat as it's about to crash into the island. And then you get some flashbacks later on of her dad and everything like that. But, you know, that's where it starts. So I kept waiting for that to show up. And that was like an hour in or something.
Do you watch any other movies?
Yeah, just one.
Yeah.
I watched Making Fun, that one that you told me about with the fun.
Oh, what'd you think?
First off, I loved the first half of it.
Yes.
Maybe like the first two thirds. But I'll tell you, like, by the time the last third of the movie was there, and it was just like they picked these people, and these people would talk about their collections. And sometimes there were collections of things that weren't even Funko. You know, they're like, oh, I've got vinyl, and I've got this. And I started wondering if I had, like, finished the Funko one and had now gotten into another documentary that was about people collecting things, because it seemed to only focus on that. It was just like they would give 20 minutes to one person, and they'd be like, here's my collection, here's what I like to do. It got away from being about Funko and got onto just like these individual people. So that I didn't like as much. Like, I actually stopped watching it because I was getting tired of just listening to people talk about their collections.
Fair enough.
But the first part, I really liked where the company started.
Yeah.
The origins, how they went out for the licensing on the stuff, and they created the bobbleheads themselves, and you know how it started with Big Boy. Because they were like, hey, we know the Big Boy guy, let's go talk to him. And they couldn't keep him in stock, and how he burned out, you know, after 7 years. And he was like, I mean, he was genuinely like tearing up on stage there when he was announcing this to people.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, I've got to move on.
And he sold the company.
Yep.
But now he's back.
Yeah. Which is good. And the guy that bought the company like, literally said, I had no idea how to run a business. Well, that was a poor choice on the other guy's part.
Yep.
Yeah, you guys had played golf together and you were friends and he thought that you were a good collector. That's great. But if you don't know how to run a business... But he also went out and actually got Star Wars licenses.
Yep.
Did shit with them, but he got Star Wars licenses. No, I enjoyed it. It made me really like the company as well.
Yeah. Nice, right?
Yep.
I watched a trailer.
Okay.
Creed 2.
Oh, yeah.
Trailer didn't do a whole lot for me at all.
No.
Well, the first Creed movie didn't do much for me because I kept waiting for the Rocky moments to happen in it.
Right.
And it didn't.
Right.
And I know it's not a Rocky movie, but if Rocky Balboa was in it, you at least got to hear the Rocky music once.
Yeah.
This is a little fact what I do think is neat. That Creed 2 comes out later this year. Comes out in November. The first Rocky movie debuted 42 years ago in November. Okay, so Sylvester Stallone has played Rocky Balboa, and this will be the now eighth film in the last 42 years. That's wow. That's pretty tremendous.
So I was a little over a year old at the time.
Yeah, yeah. The other aspect of it that's kind of neat, and they don't touch on it at all in the trailer.
Yep.
But I guess it looks like one of the people he's fighting, or the big fight he's got this movie, is with Ivan Drago's son.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So they didn't really touch upon that?
They just show Dolph Lundgren, and then they show, like, a guy, a boxer, like, blonde hair, red robe, and he's kind of, and then he turns to the ropes, and he just says Drago on the back, and that's about it.
And you're supposed to mark out for that and be like, ooh!
Right, yeah, but I didn't. I just went, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I can't ever think of any other trailers I watched worth talking about.
I saw a trailer for Dumbo. The live action.
I watched that, yeah.
Not impressed.
That's why I say nothing I want to talk about.
Yeah, I'm not really looking forward to that.
Oh, here's some exciting news for you that I know you're going to like. Netflix picked up Lucifer for a fourth season.
Yes. Yes, I was really excited about that. I think that it's only going to be like 10 episodes, but still.
Well, if it's Netflix, so there'll probably be hour-long episodes, and then probably be TVMA.
Yes, that's what I'm hoping.
I would assume so.
And... I'm sure you heard, but yesterday NBC finally pulled the plug on Timeless.
Oh, I didn't hear. Are you serious?
Yep. They said that it was time to cancel it. But Eric Kripke says that he's shopping it around to other networks.
I hope Netflix picks it up.
Well, that's the thing is now that they've officially canceled it, all these other networks that have probably been looking at it can say, scarf it right up.
I hope Hulu or Netflix or somebody picks up. It's such a good show.
It is. And if one of them picked it up, then they could probably do it better.
Yep.
I saw a trailer for a show coming out on the CW this summer.
The Outpost?
The Outpost.
Yeah.
Looks interesting, doesn't it?
It looks pretty good, yeah.
It kind of looks like Into the Badlands.
Yeah.
But the CW's version and with a female main character.
I looked it up to see because if it was going to be like a syndicated style show. And I guess in the United States, it's on the CW, but in the rest of the world, it's on Sci-Fi.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, and there's only going to be, I think, 10 episodes.
I'm going to check it out.
I actually am going to watch the first one. It comes out in July sometime.
July 10th, I believe.
Okay. Yeah.
The whole purchasing of Fox, have you been following this? So, basically, the original thing was that Disney was going to buy Fox.
And then I heard Comcast kind of chimed in, yeah.
Yeah, because Disney was offering
Hold on, real quick. It's not all the Fox assets. No. It's not the network channel. It's the movies, some licensing.
The movies, licensing, and most of their network TV, actually. They're keeping Fox News and, I believe, the NFL stuff.
Well, okay. But right now, see, I find that funny because right now, like... WWE is working with Fox, mm-hmm. where there's a potential like $1 billion deal where WWE is going to take SmackDown to the Fox network.
It's quite possible. They're keeping their sports stuff, so maybe they're considering that a sport.
Mm-hmm. Anyways.
So originally it was like $54 billion that Disney was offering, but they were offering it in stock. Okay. When the AT&T and Time Warner merger went in the other day, and basically that had been in the works for a while, and the Supreme Court judge said, yep, they can do it. That allowed Comcast to say, okay, we're safe. And so Comcast went to the table and said, we're going to give you $64 billion in cash instead of stocks.
Holy shit.
And so they were making a play.
Yeah.
Now Disney countered by raising it up to like $75 billion. and included cash in it as well. So from what I've heard, Fox said, okay, Disney gets it. Mm. So they should still be keeping all the stuff with, you know, the Marvel stuff, basically, which is all I really care about.
$75 billion.
I know. Isn't that kind of crazy? Dude, at my new job, some of the numbers that I see go through there are insane.
I believe it.
Insane. You know, just consulting services, $50,000 to one individual. Like, that's just one thing that they're getting for this year. You know, they probably do consulting to a bunch of other people and get paid similar amounts. Yeah. It's crazy. But I think that's all I had for news and such. Oh, the allegedly the Star Wars story movies are on hold now.
Yes, I heard that as well. Because the Solo movie did so bad that they're gonna anything that's not saga is going to be put on hold
while they assess.
You know what? They should have waited for December for Solo to come out, not had it come out 6 months after The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
If they kept doing it the yearly thing, it would get that need that people wanted, that itch to scratch to watch something Star Wars related. Mm-hmm. And also, then it wouldn't have been coming out at a time when you had Avengers and Deadpool and everything else coming out.
Yeah.
You know, right around it. So,
yeah.
That's too bad.
Fanboys had what they needed at the time.
But the thing is, it's not like it was a financial failure by any means. It just wasn't as successful. It made money.
It made some money.
You know?
Didn't make a lot of money.
But it still made money, at least.
Yeah. They're used to seeing, like, triple digits.
Well, yeah, they're used to, like, what was it, Force Awakens is a $1 billion movie.
And then, of course, you know, like you mentioned, it was going up against, well, not really up against, but it was out at the same time as Avengers Infinity War, yep. Which last I heard was still churning along, fourth movie to ever top $2 billion.
Yeah.
And still going.
It's a great flick.
Yeah. So yeah, now the Wasp is coming.
I know, just a couple weeks.
And they've already released a new promo, and I haven't watched it yet, but it allegedly ties into Infinity War.
Oh, cool.
And they've had some advanced screenings where people have seen footage from Infinity War Part 2, and I don't want to know about it. Either but way. Apparently it has to do with time travel, so big surprise there.
Shit.
Yeah.
Sorry, but...
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we are up to Westworld.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
So if you don't want to hear it, bye-bye. See you.
So to me, this was a really slow, dragging, holy shit, why are we watching this story episode?
Yes. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
But I couldn't believe that they basically devoted an entire episode.
Was it Akasheta?
Yeah.
I can't pronounce it. It's the Ghost Nation. It's the leader of the Ghost Nation.
Yep.
And basically, we see his whole story on how he basically realized, like Maeve, that...
this is the wrong world.
Yeah, like, I've lived multiple lives. There's other things going on. You know, they say that that's my ex-girlfriend. Like I know, like, that's my ex-girlfriend or ex-wife, but she's really not. And now she's somebody else.
Yep.
And on and on
but
and on.
But then he wakes her up to it, but then they find her and take her away and reprogram her.
No, they don't reprogram her. They replace her with somebody else.
Oh, that's right.
And this other woman comes to realize that her son's not her son anymore.
Yep.
And this and that. And then he just comes to the realization that, oh, well, if I die, then I can wake up where they take me after I die. And then right. I can walk around and look around and discover all this stuff.
Because he found that that area that they were digging out.
Yes.
And he was convinced that that was the doorway to the real world.
Yes.
Like, he's in the wrong world, he says. He just has to find the key.
And he's the one that finds, like, the maze. The maze with the guy in the middle. He finds something that has that in it.
The scalp.
No. He finds, like, a toy or a mold or something that has it.
Okay.
And then this is why he believes in there's something else. And then when he shows it to, like... one of his fellow Indians, he's like, well, let's put it someplace they'll never find it. And the Indian cuts his own head open. And that's right. When he puts it in on the scalp, which we find later on in like last season. You know, I say later on because it's in the past. We find it last season.
Yep.
The other thing we learned, the reason why that he is so much, not in love with, but like Maeve's daughter, mm-hmm. why he was looking out for her is because she helped him.
Yes.
When he was in a rough patch.
This was another one of those episodes where it was like, the timelines kept kind of fluxing because he was talking to Maeve's daughter, but then it was almost like he was talking to Maeve through her daughter, or like she was picking. It was It was really weird. Like, at one point, I thought he was talking to young Maeve, but then I was like, but they don't age. You know?
Right.
So, it was very interesting. So, you're right. It was slow. Like, again, I kept looking up and being like, seriously? We're still on the Indian guy?
And there's so much subtitles you have to you'd have to watch to read it to follow the story.
Yep. Because he spoke all in his own dialect.
Exactly. But it wasn't bad. It just was so slow and it dragged. And
aside from it being slow, I loved it.
I did too. It could have been a half an hour probably.
Yep. This was the first episode this season where I felt like it got back to the mythology of the first season.
Yep.
Where it actually felt like the same kind of thing that the first season grabbed me with. And it was exciting to see him say, you know, I realized this was the wrong world. I was like, whoa, I backed it up. I watched it again. I'm like, that's so cool.
Yeah. It just, I was surprised they took the full episode to tell his story.
Yes.
Because that's what they did, basically.
Yep. And some may argue, well, until now, they've all been background characters. You know, the Ghost Nation has just been like an enemy in the background. And we've never gotten anything about any of them. So it's nice to give him.
It is. It's just, it seems like they could have done it in a shorter time.
Shorter time or spread out across a couple of episodes. Yeah, make him one of the characters that filters in with Lawrence and with Teddy and with Maeve. Instead of like, oh, okay, here this is his one episode and now we'll never talk to him again.
Right.
But that was really interesting. And so this was something odd too. He had that whole thing with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, take my heart when you go. And give me yours in return or something like that.
Right.
And then at the very end, Maeve said that to him.
Yes.
Because he's talking to her daughter.
Yes.
And then you see her in a different part Maeve's, talking back to him.
Maeve is in the – she's in like a room where basically it was Lee. Whoever the writer of the park is.
Yes.
You know, the one that called in reinforcements.
He wanted her saved.
Well, yeah, he wanted her saved. And then the other tech guy was like, nah, we'll just take her brain out.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, we can't do that. And as soon as they, and then like, was it the security girl, whatever, shows up and realizes that, you know, when they hooked.
She was rewriting.
When they hooked her in, she was rewriting everything.
Yeah. Basically, she was like, nobody's been able to get master control back.
And she has master control. Right, and no one else can, but now she's in there rewriting, and so she's talking to the Indian, the Ghost Nation's leader.
Yep.
Like, basically through telepathy.
Right, because the woman's like, you know, you didn't turn her off. She's still been doing it. She's doing it right now. And they're like, what? But then when she says that to him, like, was that just, was she saying, you know, take my heart with me when you go, because she was channeling his girlfriend, or because she was just like, hey, just so you know, you know, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
Or is she becoming like omnipresent? Like I am all of these personas at the same time. It was weird. It kind of threw me.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was good. Ultimately. And we only got a couple episodes left, I think.
Yeah. And I got to hurry up and watch this one because the internet has just been going nuts with trying to do like the subtle headline spoilers, you know.
See, I haven't heard all of that.
How about the big twist? How about this? What about this? And blah, blah, blah. I haven't learned anything, but I know that there's something big in this most recent ninth episode.
I have successfully managed to avoid it all.
That's good.
Pardon me. So, I'm pleased with myself on that.
Excellent.
But I guess that's it for me.
Your clock is still off.
Oh, I cannot. I changed the time on it. I reset the battery in it. It's just, that's just how it's going to be.
Maybe it needs some oil in its gears.
No, I don't think.
Or you could, I think like Michael's, ironic place for you to go, has clock motors. Just replace it. Probably be cheaper to buy a new clock, but whatever.
Fair enough.
So that's it.
I wish I had an outlet, like electrical outlet, like underneath it, so I could just buy like an old school one that plugs in.
I gotcha.
Yeah, that's it for me.
All right, that's it for me.
All right, well, hey, thanks for having a listen. You can find us on Twitter if you'd like to reach out to us. I'm at Superstar Mel.
I'm at the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And that's it. Thanks.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next week when hopefully Mike will have some insight into Cloak and Dagger and possibly Happy Endings.
And yeah, hopefully I'll have slept and be more rested when we report.
Yeah.
Those of us. Later.